WKJAN Sports.
Time for a look at sports. Good morning, I'm Jim Field. High school cross country state qualifying meets were held yesterday in all four classes. In girls' results here locally, in Class 1A, the meet held at Trainer. It was Griswold winning the team title with 81 points. St. Albert and Exira EHK were second and third. The top three teams advanced to state. Individually, the top 10 move on. That includes Rebecca Topham of Griswold, who was the easy winner. Kristen Weber of Earlham, Destiny Scar of Nottoway Valley, Michelle Mum of Tri-Center, Emma Harper of East Union were the top five, followed by Mackenzie Hulsing of Southwest Iowa, J.C. Martin of St. Albert, Megan Maskey of Woodbine, Megan Deist of Audubon, and Sharissa Mogler of Bedford, the top 10. In the 2A meet at Panora, Panorama, Greene County, and North Polk were the top three teams. They all move on to state. Among the individuals in the top 10 advancing to state, Allison Higgins of Greene County was the individual champion. Alexis Cook of Missouri Valley was the runner-up. Hannah Appleseth of Panorama was third. Also, West Central Valley's Shelby Hunemiller placed eighth. Panorama's Carly Jonk was 10th. They all advanced to the state meet. In 3A at Winterset yesterday, it was Humboldt, Winterset, and Dallas Center Grimes, the top three girls teams. Individually, Abby Cohut-Jackson of Ballard was the champion. Also advancing to state was Tiffany Williams of Atlantic. Tiffany placing seventh with a time of 15 minutes 14 seconds. Good enough to put her at the state meet, along with Maria Mostick of Creston, who was eighth, Megan Hart of Shenandoah Essex, who was ninth. And in the 4A meet at Council Bluffs, it was Johnston, Des Moines Roosevelt, and Waukee, the top three teams. Jordan Cleave of Johnston was the top individual finisher, leading the top 10 onto the state meet. On the boys' side yesterday in those qualifying meets, in 1A at Trainer, it was Riverside with 73 points, St. Albert with 76, and Boyer Valley with 95. The top three teams, they'll advance. Noah Larson of Mount Air was the champion. Shane Braheny of Nottoway Valley was second. Wyatt Schultz of Logan Magnolia, Heath Downing of Nottoway Valley, and Tim Brink of Riverside round out the top five. The second five includes Brady Ryan of Riverside, Max Ross of St. Albert, Brayton Funk of Nottoway Valley, Chase Bonsall of Boyer Valley, and Gus Dahl of St. Albert. In the 2A meet at Panora, North Polk, Albia, and Shenandoah were the top three teams. They all move on. Colton Dorpinghouse of Albia was the individual champion. Also moving on to state, Josh Sundberg of Red Oak. He was seventh. Nate Hoyt of Shenandoah was eighth. Logan Lorette of Red Oak was ninth. And Hunter Simmons of Panorama placed 10th to advance. The boys' 3A meet at Winterset yesterday saw Harlan win the team title with 63 points. Dallas Center Grimes and Creston were second and third, and they advanced to state as well. Individually, Cooper McDermott of Creston was fourth place finisher. Chris Brace of Harlan was sixth. Jay Wolf of Creston placing seventh. And Harlan's Philip Soranko placing 10th. They all advance as well. In the 4A boys meet at Council Bluffs, it was Johnston, Waukee, and Des Moines Roosevelt. The top three teams, they advance. Ryan Tunick of Waukee was the individual champion in that race yesterday. The state cross country championship meet will be held at Kennedy Park in Fort Dodge on Saturday, November 2nd. A few high school volleyball matchups last night saw Harlan beat Clarinda 3 in a row. It was Sioux City East over Council Bluffs Abe Lincoln 2-0. Sioux City North beat Thomas Jefferson 2 in a row. Thomas Jefferson over Sioux City West 2-0. And Abraham Lincoln beat Sergeant Bluff Luton 2-0 last night. We have high school football tonight for you here on KJAN as Chris and I will be in Glenwood as the Rams play host to the Atlantic Trojans tonight in the final game of the high school football's regular season, Class 3A District 1. Atlantic is at Glenwood, trying to ruin Glenwood's hopes of a possible playoff berth. The Rams are sitting outside the playoffs right now, but with a win and some help, they still have a shot at getting in. We'll have that contest for you later on tonight. 6:30 is when we start our pregame show. That's right after Who's Going to Win, which airs at 6 o'clock tonight. At 7:30, we'll have kickoff for the football game. Also, you can hear comments from Atlantic coach Nick Ross during the Trojan preview show at 4:45. We'll hear more from both coaches in our pregame show tonight. Also in 3A District 1, Creston is at Lewis Central in an important game. Harlan plays at ADM. Also tonight in 2A District 8, Nottoway Valley is at Clarinda Academy. Red Oak is at Shenandoah, with both those teams still with hopes to get in. Clarinda is at Kemper Catholic tonight. Also in 1A District 8, St. Albert hosting Missouri Valley. Tri-Center is home to West Central Valley, while Panorama visits Trainer. In Class A District 7, Audubon, the district champ, is on the road at Earlham tonight. Guthrie Center is at Madrid. Bedford plays at Woodward Granger. In Class A District 8 action tonight, AHST's already locked down the district title. They'll play at Underwood this evening. Riverside is at Westwood. Both those teams still in the hunt for a playoff berth. West Monona is at East Mills, and Griswold plays at Logan Magnolia tonight. And that's a playoff game already because the winner is in and the loser is out in the playoff hunt. In 8-man District 6 tonight, among the games, Adair Casey is at Coon Rapids Bayard. That's actually a non-district game. Adair Casey's already won its district championship. In 8-man District 8 tonight, Cam is hosting Sydney, with the winner of that game grabbing third place. Both those teams are already in to the playoff picture. Well, Iowa and Iowa State are at home in conference play this weekend. The Hawkeyes will host a Northwestern team that's lost three straight games. The Wildcats should be getting starting quarterback Kane Coulter back from injury, but Trevor Siemian has played a lot in the last couple of years. Coulter's ability to run means the Hawkeye defense will need to do a good job of containing, and that was an area that they struggled with in last week's loss at Ohio State.
Yeah, they're a good offensive team. They test you in every possible way, so we need to get that straightened out. But I think, you know, especially a couple that I'm thinking about, they're very correctable. It's inexperience and, you know, good guys trying hard, but just kind of losing track of where they were and where the ball was. And you pay for those things, and, you know, we did pay.
We'll have that game for you Saturday, Iowa Northwestern, 9 o'clock pregame early in the morning at 11:05 is kickoff. Now, the Cyclones are at home against Oklahoma State and still in search of their first Big 12 victory. Injuries continue to be a factor on the ISU offensive line, and Coach Paul Rhodes says it's forcing them to adjust.
One is get the ball out of your hand, so protection doesn't have to be a lengthy time factor. And if we're going to need time because of certain route combinations, we got to protect with more people, and we got to protect better with more people. Running game, same way. We've got to get enough people blocking at the point of attack, and then making that point of attack strategic based on the personnel that we're playing against.
Well, the Cyclones are 1-5 and could use a victory to jumpstart their season. The Cowboys are 5-1. Game time 11 o'clock in Ames on Saturday. Well, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers find themselves 0-7 for the seventh time in that team's checkered history as Cam Newton threw two touchdown passes and ran for another score to lead the surging Carolina Panthers to a 31-13 win over the Bucs. The Panthers win for the fourth time in five games since an 0-2 start. Elsewhere in NFL news, Peyton Manning returned to practice after the Denver Broncos held him out a day earlier because of a minor ankle sprain. Manning was knocked down 10 times at Indianapolis last week when he was sacked a season high 4 times. Manning was one of 8 starters who skipped Wednesday's practice. St. Louis Rams coach Jeff Fisher declined to address reports that he tried to lure Brett Favre out of retirement to replace Sam Bradford, who's out for the season with a knee injury. Fisher said he wouldn't discuss players contacted after Bradford tore his left ACL Sunday at Carolina, although he confirmed Tyler Thigpen also worked out. Favre said he was contacted by the Rams but dismissed the possibility of returning to the NFL with St. Louis. He told a Washington sports station that he doesn't feel physically able to compete and expressed fear that he's been affected by concussions. Michael Vick practiced successfully for the third straight day on Thursday and is set to undergo his toughest physical challenge of the week. Friday, he'll be the first time in almost 3 weeks that Vick will turn it loose without holding anything back as he tries to prepare for a start against the New York Giants on Sunday. Rookie Matt Barkley will be forced into the starting role Sunday if Vick and Nick Foles can't play. The Dallas Cowboys, Detroit Lions, and Miami Dolphins are joining Jacksonville, Atlanta, and Oakland for games in London next year as part of the NFL International Series. The NFL had announced earlier this month it would play 3 games at Wembley Stadium in 2014 with the Jaguars, Falcons, and Raiders as the designated home teams. NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell says that the Cowboys will face Jacksonville, the Lions will take on Atlanta, and the Dolphins will play Oakland. In action last night, the pitching was strong, the hitting was timely, and the fielding was crisp as the St. Louis Cardinals bounced back from Wednesday's loss and tied the World Series at a game apiece. Rookie Michael Wacha remains unbeaten this month after combining with 2 relievers on a 4-hitter in the Redbirds' 4-2 triumph over the Red Sox in Boston. Wacha improved to 4-0 with a 1 earned run average in the postseason, although his ERA was .33 until David Ortiz hit a go-ahead 2-run homer in the bottom of the 6th inning. Wacha allowed 3 hits over 6 innings. But the Cardinals put together a 3-run seventh after Ortiz went deep for the second straight night, scoring the tying and go-ahead runs on Matt Carpenter's sacrifice fly with the bases loaded. Catcher Jared Saltalamacchia mishandled the throw to the plate, and pitcher Craig Breslow threw wildly to third base, bringing home the tie-breaking run. Carlos Beltran followed with an RBI single later in the seventh. Matt Holliday tripled and scored on Yadier Molina's grounder in the fourth inning for the Cardinals' first run. Cards setup man Carlos Martinez struck out three while tossing two hitless innings. Trevor Rosenthal struck out the side in the ninth on just 11 pitches to notch the save. The series will shift to St. Louis for Game 3 Saturday, Game 4 on Sunday. Red Sox manager John Farrell has announced that Jake Peavy will start the third game, followed by Clay Buchholz. Joe Kelly and Lance Lynn will start those games for the Redbirds. John Lester tossed 7 2/3 shutout innings in Boston's 8-1 victory in Game 1 and then spent Thursday denying that he had an illegal substance in his glove. Lester says his glove contained only rosin, a legal substance found on the pitcher's mounds. In the National Hockey League last night, it was Philadelphia over the New York Rangers 2-1, Boston 2-1 over San Jose, Vancouver wins in a shootout 3-2 over New Jersey, Montreal topping Anaheim 4-1, Tampa Bay in overtime over Chicago 6-5, Minnesota beat Carolina 3-1, Nashville in overtime a 3-2 winner over Winnipeg, Dallas beat Calgary 5-1, Washington 4-1 over Edmonton, and L.A. outscored Phoenix 7-4. NASCAR has informed its competitors that it is considering eliminating single-car qualifying next season in an overhaul to how the field is set. Among the ideas being considered is a group qualifying format similar to what is used on the road courses this year. NASCAR is considering using that qualifying procedure everywhere except Daytona and Talladega. And NASCAR will mandate baseline concussion testing for its drivers starting next season. NASCAR only recommended the testing this season, but indicated to drivers that a preseason baseline screening could become mandatory as early as 2014. The baseline will be used to measure against test results after a driver has crashed when diagnosing a concussion. That's Jack of Sports this hour. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.